Hey, Kenny Pratt here, and thanks for joining me in the second of five sessions in the Effective Follow-Up Workshop. So in this session, we're going to talk about those times when your prospective customer is just unwilling to make a commitment to rent with you, and they just feel compelled and feel a need to have to shop around. So like I said before, if you're listening to this on the audio version, I know you're busy, and I want you to make the most of your time you're going to spend with me today. So if you're listening in, stop for a minute and grab a piece of paper. It'll be a lot more effective if you just take notes as you go rather than re-listen to it over and over again. And for review, you've got the Fast Action Workbook, and you've also got the written version of today's session that will help you review as well. So now that you're settled in, let's get on with this. As I mentioned in the introduction video, there are lots of reasons why someone would want to keep shopping. I mean, some people just feel compelled to call multiple locations. They just want to make sure they're getting a good deal. And the only way they feel like they know that is if they've kind of researched prices from multiple storage operators, from multiple options for them. And so they're going to shop no matter how good you do on the phone, even if you show them that you're going to satisfy their needs and their wants at a fair price, especially if you're one of the first, maybe the first or second place they've called. So when they insist on shopping, you know, what do you do? Well, most self-storage managers just sit back and hope that the caller calls back or stops in. And when a customer says something like, "Okay, well, I'll call you when I decide what I'm going to do next," you know, the best most managers come up with in response is, "Okay, I'll talk to you soon." And what you need to do is figure out a way to tactfully reinsert yourself into the buying process so that you can continue to build the bridge between what the buyer wants and what you have to offer. You want to stay involved with the prospective customer. So in this case, since you're still kind of wooing the prospect, you don't have a commitment from them, they're not intending yet to do business with you, you're going to do best if you actually have their permission to recontact them. If your prospect has openly given you or agreed to allow you to recontact them. And if they've given you that permission to recontact them, to follow up with them, then you're going to meet a whole lot less resistance. So let's just take a minute and talk about how you're going to get permission from them to follow up. Okay, so I'm going to outline a couple of different approaches here. Here's my two recommended approaches for getting permission to follow up. The first approach is to let your prospect know that you may be able to get them a better deal. But before you can really solidify what that better deal is, you need to check with somebody else, a higher authority or a coworker or something. So I call this the quote-unquote better deal approach. Okay, so what this does is it gives your prospect a reason to agree to a future contact, you know, because you're offering to work on getting them a better deal. And because you must talk with somebody else or think it over or whatever your excuse is for postponing getting back to them, you're able to delay that contact until later. So ideally what you're going to do is you're going to give your prospective customer enough time to do some shopping, but not enough time to actually make a commitment and go sign a rental agreement with some other competitor. So offering a better deal would sound something like this. "Okay, Mrs. Smith, I understand that you'd like to shop around. I'd love to have your business. I think my boss might allow me to do a little better on the monthly rent or the move-in special. Would it be okay if I touch base with you later today and let you know what I found out?" So of course, when you get back with a prospective customer, you should have a better deal ready for them, even if it's very modest. Your better deal can take lots of different forms. It doesn't always have to be just cheaper rent. So let me give you some ideas. Here's six ideas, and I'm sure you can come up with more. I'm just getting you started here. So number one, the most obvious, a better monthly rate. Number two, a better move-in special. Number three, you might offer a bigger unit for the same price. Number four, you could offer a free rental of your moving truck or pay for a moving truck. Number five, you might do an extended rental of your moving truck, either a full day if a half a day is the norm, or maybe you let them keep it for more than one day. Or number six, you could give them some free or discounted merchandise. So with your better deal in mind, now you're ready to follow up with a prospective customer. And before I walk you through how a call like that would sound, let me tell you about a second approach the second way that I recommend that you get permission to follow up. So the first way was this better deal approach. And the second approach is to offer to beat competitor prices. But don't make the mistake of waiting for the prospective customer to call you back. Offering to meet or beat competitor prices, that's pretty common. And the problem, though, is most store managers don't really leverage it to the full potential. Because what they do is they just sit back and wait for the prospect to call back again after they've shopped around. And that's just plain a mistake. So to really appreciate the customer situation, you know, I want you to take a second and just pretend for a moment that you're the one that's moving. You know, when you're moving, you're spending days preparing your home by boxing up all of your stuff, all your whole life you're putting into boxes. And you're cleaning parts of your house that you haven't cleaned for years, you know, like the little tracks in the window panes, you know. And you're doing all this work at night and on the weekend because you probably can't afford to take the time off. Although you know some of this stuff is going to go into storage temporarily, you know, arranging for storage is just like one more task on this gigantic list that's already too long. And so here you are, you've packed up or you're getting ready to figure out the storage piece, and now you're calling around, and the second place you call seems to have a pretty good deal, a pretty good price. But you got a few others on your list that you want to call. So you're about to hang up with that storage manager, and they say to you, hey, keep in mind that we're willing to meet or beat competitors' prices. So you hang up the phone and you make a few more calls. The afternoon wears on, and now you're on the fourth place that you've called in your list. And this guy at the fourth place, the price and the special is about as good as any of the other locations that you've called. It seems good enough. The location's good enough. And gosh dang it, you're tired. And so now you ask yourself, are you really going to go through the extra effort to call back that second place that offered to match or beat prices? I mean, as a self-storage manager, when you ask the prospective customer to call you back, man, you're often asking too much effort on the part of the customer. I mean, consider what you're expecting. You're expecting them to remember your offer to meet or beat. You're expecting them to not confuse you with a competitor, that you know, one of the other people that they called. You're assuming that you're the only person that's going to offer this meet or beat offer. Maybe your competitors are doing the same thing. And you're also assuming that by the time they're done shopping around, they're going to have enough energy or motivation to call you back. So waiting for the prospect to call you back, sure, it's going to work sometimes, but let's take a minute and let's make this work a whole lot better. The way you make the meet or beat offer work better, it's by getting permission to call them back and see how you compare. So that would sound something like this. So here's you. It sounds like you want to do a little more shopping. I can understand that. I'm confident you'd have a good experience here and I'd love to have your business. We have a policy of meeting or beating our competitors' prices. Do you plan on doing most of your calling around this afternoon? So the prospect replies, yeah, I plan on calling a few other self-storages I found online. And then you, how about I give you a call back a little later today and see what you found out as far as prices and specials go, and then I'll blow them out of the water. Would that be okay? Some prospects will say no. They're going to prefer to call you and communicate on their own terms. However, there's going to be a lot if you approach them in this way. They'll be grateful for your offer to get back in touch, and bam, you position yourself as that kind of coveted last conversation, and you have one more shot at their business. So the beauty of these approaches is that it puts you back in the driver's seat. You're not just left there sitting, waiting for them to call you back, sitting there with your fingers crossed, hoping that they're going to call. All right, so this is kind of a longer session. We're a little more than halfway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through. So I'm going to break this audio up into two parts. So in part two, I'm going to show you how to tailor your kind of quote-unquote better deal or meet or beat offer so that it matches up with your specific market conditions, because your market dictates how aggressive you're going to be. And then I'm going to walk you through some sample follow-up calls, like what you might exactly say to these prospective customers when you call them back. And then I'm going to kind of summarize it all up, make it real easy for you to recap. And then we'll be done. Catch me on part two, and you'll find that right alongside the next link in the second session of the Effective Follow-Up series.